From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let's say that you sell a product or service, and let's say that you do it well and customers come back to you for that product or service. That's excellent, of course. That's a job well done. But we live in an era of constant content where brands can take on voices, can develop relationships with consumers, can be thought of as the center of communities and movements. And that means, should you want to do this, you have an opportunity to become more than just a company that sells a product or service. You can, dare I say it, become a
thought leader.
But that's easier said than done. How do you turn a company into a thought leader? Or,
thought leader.
I promise we won't do that every time. Anyway, how do you become something bigger than you already are? Daniel McCarthy has wrestled a lot with this question. He's the co-founder and CEO of a company called MusicBed, which is a full-service music licensing company. So if a filmmaker or ad agency or whatever needs to add music to what they're producing, they can come to MusicBed to license it. But he's also tried to make his company into a thought leader, a center of community, a place that doesn't just sell music, but that cultivates ideas and art. And that hasn't always gone so well, like the time he launched a quarterly magazine and asked his little marketing team to run it.
It just, like, it killed us. I mean, because it was like all of a sudden the marketing was going downhill for MusicBed, and ads weren't getting updated, and campaigns and our digital campaigns weren't running, and we were like interviewing people and making articles and setting things up and talking to printers.
As a guy who edits a monthly magazine, I should say here, not as easy as it looks, folks. These things don't write themselves.
And so we did two of them, and then we canceled it.
But MusicBed didn't give up. Instead, it kept experimenting, kept talking to its audience, and kept taking stock of what worked and what the ROI even is on thought leadership. And today, only 6 years after it launched, it is indeed a leader in this industry. It's licensing music for Super Bowl ads and to major companies like Apple and Facebook and Coca-Cola. It works with most of the top ad agencies like Ogilvy and Omnicom and Droga5. It's doubled in size for 4 or 5 years in a row. So, how did Daniel do it? We'll get into it all right after this break. If you run a small business, you know there is nothing small about it. Dell's Small Business Technology Advisors are here to help with solutions tailored to your business. Get the latest technology like Dell laptops with Intel Core processors. Plus, with free shipping and a price match guarantee, you know you're always getting the best deals. Talk to a Dell Small Business Advisor today at 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. All right, we're back. So, to understand how MusicBed became a thought leader, we first have to understand where the thought for MusicBed even came from. And that started when Daniel was a creative director for a local advertising agency in Fort Worth, Texas. He'd create a commercial for, say, some local business, and then he'd want to put some great music into it. And that was just an awfully complicated process. So, roughly speaking, just to walk through it, a guy like Daniel would have two options. Option one was to go to a company that produces its own music, like a full library of music, and then it'll license that stuff out. That's often easy and affordable, but the music itself feels cheap. And option two is to go to a major music label like Sony or Warner Brothers, but that gets complicated and expensive really fast.
So if you're wanting to get a song, you have to go to both the master and publishing owners of that song. So the writer of the song and then the record label of the song. And then within that, there could be other owners. And you have to get a sync license. And a sync license gives you the authority to put it to film. And everybody along the way can give you their own price. So it could be $5,000, and the publisher could say $20,000, and the record label could say $30,000, and one of the writers could say, I want $7,000.
And on and on. That's not even the end of it. Now, this isn't such a big deal for a giant company like, say, Pepsi, which has made music a cornerstone of its advertising. They have the money to go through this whole rigmarole. But the barrier to entry for everyone else is just crazy high, which means that smaller filmmakers are often stuck with inferior music. So around the year 2010, Daniel and a colleague started thinking, there is an opportunity here.
Why is there not somewhere out there that has amazing, amazing music we can call, we can tell them what we want, they give us a price, we pay it, same day.
So Daniel and his co-founder quit the local ad agency and start their own local agency. But that was actually just a front. They built that agency because it was an industry they knew and they could support themselves with the work that they did while they started the slow process of building what they actually wanted to build, which was MusicBed. Because building MusicBed from scratch was not going to be easy. I mean, they basically knew nothing about the music industry.
We don't live in Nashville. We don't live in LA. I went to school for music business and dropped out. That's great credibility.
So first they defined their market. They were not going to go out and try talking like Bruce Springsteen into signing with them. Instead, they went after small indie labels who have great bands, but not necessarily the capacity to do all this licensing. And then they went scouring SoundCloud and Bandcamp looking for artists that weren't even signed to anyone. And then they'd ask these people for meetings, or they'd have coffee with them, and they'd lay out their pitch, which was basically, hey, there's a donut hole here. There are a ton of small filmmakers who are dying for great music in their films, but they can't afford the major label artists, and they don't know how to find you, the indie artist. But of course, the artists were skeptical. MusicBed hadn't actually licensed a single thing yet. So Daniel found that he needed to make one final offer before getting people on board.
We didn't have any money to pay advances, so it would have been a lot easier if we would have said, hey, we'll pay you $50,000 to sign this contract, but we didn't have that. So early on, we just signed non-exclusive deals that didn't have terms on them. So it was like, hey, if this doesn't work out, you can cancel at any time.
In 2012, MusicBed launched with 35 indie artists. And a few months later, opportunity really struck. The music label conglomerate EMI filed lawsuits against a ton of wedding filmmakers for illegal usage of their music. And so MusicBed thought, oh, this is a perfect opportunity for us to swoop in and be the savior for these wedding filmmakers.
We got on all these trade blogs and publications and Facebook forums and said, hey, if any of you guys have copyrighted music in your films and you want to replace that with legal music, you can have it for free. Just let us know what you need. We'll give it to you. We'll make sure that you don't get yourself in trouble with any of the major labels. And when it was a bit of a PR stunt. And when we did the following month, we had doubled in revenue. And then
wait.
It just kind of.
But was that an expensive PR stunt for you? Like, if you are going to provide some wedding videographer a song from your catalog now, you, I presume, have to pay the indie label, even though.
Yeah, it was expensive because we had to pay our cut on it. So, but at the time, I mean, we're talking like 3 months after we created the company. So we're only doing like 100 licenses a month, 120 licenses a month. So it probably cost us $3,000 or $4,000. And then, but it kind of made us the golden child of the wedding industry, which is one of our segments. And so, word got out and MusicBed is great and they have a great catalog and you should use them for all your weddings. And so, we're giving a free song to one wedding filmmaker for one or two films, but they're going to do 50 this year.
The company grows pretty steadily from there. More filmmakers come, which means it's easier to sign new musicians and music labels, and revenue is steadily growing. A year or two passes like this, and that emboldens Daniel to start thinking bigger about MusicBed. You know, as a guy in advertising, he'd often pitch these great ideas to clients, and the clients would say, let's pass on that one. But now, Daniel had his own company.
I'm in charge now, so I can approve it. We can do it. We can spend money where other people have said, no, I don't trust that. I don't think it's going to work.
At the time, Vimeo had become an active hub for filmmakers, and the big achievement there was to get a staff pick. Like, if Vimeo listed your work as a staff pick, tons and tons of people would see it. And so Daniel and his MusicBed team started thinking, hey, let's make a bunch of short videos about filmmakers. Like, the only actual MusicBed presence will be the company's logo at the very end, but otherwise it's about creativity and insight into the mind of filmmakers, who, of course, are the people who use MusicBed. So Musicbed spends a ton of money and they make a bunch of these things. And sure enough, one lands as a staff pick on Vimeo. And a week and a half later, they have 200,000 views on that video and are getting a ton of traffic from Vimeo to Musicbed's website. And that is when Daniel's vision gets even larger. This isn't just about trying stuff that he couldn't do at his ad agency. No, no, no. This is about making Musicbed more than just a place to buy music.
I don't want to be a transactional brand. I don't want them to just think about Musicbed when they think music licensing. I want them to think about Musicbed when they're trying to get inspired.
So Musicbed starts making more videos. It lands a few other staff picks and a couple other awards, and yeah, that's all great. But this kind of thinking requires something of a leap of faith. Let's keep that in mind here, because Musicbed, like most companies, didn't have endless money to throw around. It had a limited marketing budget and only really a hunch on how to spend it.
And so, you know, that was one of the things for us that didn't seemingly make that much sense when you have a $300,000 marketing budget and you're spending $150,000 of that making films. I think it was, I would look at it and say it's fairly risky because we could have spent that $150,000 on Facebook ads that had, you know, a very pretty guaranteed return on it. But I think that Facebook ad gets you a single purchase, but it doesn't necessarily create a lasting brand value for that customer.
Daniel started to think of Musicbed not as a company, but instead as a publication. Because a publication is, at its heart, a voice and a perspective that someone can trust. I mean, that's what Entrepreneur is, right? It's a magazine and a website and a podcast network and events and blah, blah, blah. But at its core, it's a voice people trust. And Daniel just felt strongly that Musicbed can do that too. To become an insider voice for the community, the filmmakers who use it to license music. So he keeps investing in this idea.
And then the second thing for us was our blog, which is like, that's like a very antiquated kind of word, but it was just articles that were beautifully laid out, and interviews with some really amazing directors and DPs and writers and creative directors in the space. That started picking up a lot of momentum. And then we said, okay, well, what if we made a magazine?
The magazine. They called it Film and Music, and it was supposed to be a quarterly. Original photography, original writing, a really high-quality product, and it was produced by Musicbed's 4- or 5-person creative team, which was also responsible for marketing, you know, this now multi-million-dollar music licensing company. But they were also gonna do a magazine? And as we already heard, this stretched Musicbed really thin. Important marketing tasks were going overlooked because the creative team was too busy selling a few thousand copies of a magazine. So after 2 issues in 2015, Daniel felt like he had no choice but to cancel this thing. And that might be traumatic at a company whose mission involves putting out a magazine, but you know, that's not what Musicbed was anyway. Musicbed was figuring out how to inspire filmmakers, and it didn't really need a quarterly magazine to do that, which is a nice kind of freedom.
What it did was it turned into an annual publication that we give out for free to all of our top clients.
Musicbed kept going. It began planning a conference, which it launched in 2017. It's called Film and Music Conference, and the first one was attended by 500 people who came down to Fort Worth for days of live music and keynotes. And Daniel plans to keep building this thing up as its own, like, mini South by Southwest, though he admits that even all these years later, it still requires a leap of faith to do this kind of stuff.
I looked back the last couple of years, and I feel like we've spent about $2 million as a brand just on kind of these auxiliary thought-leading things. And honestly, it's the stuff that I believe makes the lasting impact. And it's kind of this long-term growth goal. It's also the stuff you get real insecure about because you're producing these films and you're wondering, you're kind of going to bed at night wondering, God, does this even matter? I mean, is it working?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are people watching
and
them?
Does it? I mean, do you see an ROI on this stuff?
Well, that's the hard part, is you go to a trade show or you go meet with this other, you know, you go meet in this like business development opportunity or you go to a client meeting. And this is my favorite one. Like you go to New York and you're meeting with some creative director and Film and Music magazine is sitting on his desk. And you're like, huh, hey, you got the magazine. He's like, oh, yeah, I love it. There's a last article on that issue is really amazing. I passed it around our team. They all really loved it. And you're like, shit, man, it'd be nice if you'd like email us and tell us that, you know. It's like, it would be cool if we knew that was happening, you know. So it's hard. You go to a trade show and someone comes up to you and they're like, man, dude, I've been using you guys ever since I watched that film that had that staff pick in 2013. My whole team saw it. I brought everybody into the conference room. We all watched it. Everybody was crying. And you're like, oh, yeah, it'd be cool if you commented on that film, you know, and told us that. It'd be really great. So it's like, you know, that's that stuff, because you're watching. All you really have to gauge is these 275 comments on your Vimeo film that are like, oh, this was beautiful. And, that's awesome. That's great. Did you buy anything, you know? Did it work? Are you still buying stuff? I don't know.
But insecurity aside, there's another interesting downside to thought leadership here. And I'm going to kind of back into it. So stay with me here. For as much as MusicBed had been thinking of itself as a thought leader, it's also recognizing that the industry around it has changed dramatically. In the past 6 years, as MusicBed has grown, many competitors have grown up too. And although MusicBed started out largely serving wedding videographers, now it's working with like 16 different segments. Everything from filmmakers to student projects to schools and universities and ad agencies. And all of these segments have different needs and different ways of talking. And MusicBed hadn't really kept up with all of them. It kept trying to just be one thing to all. So Daniel started surveying his users. He'd start by asking what they were looking for, and the answers forced MusicBed to adjust its services. For example, remember how MusicBed's original pitch was that it made music accessible to small filmmakers? I mean, that's cool, right? But now it has really large filmmakers coming to it, and accessibility was never a problem for them. Music was, I don't know, a couple bucks away for them. So they're coming to MusicBed for something else, which is a great catalog of indie musicians that MusicBed represents. So MusicBed needs to solve a different problem for these big companies, and that is search. It needs to look at these larger filmmakers' creative briefs and then do free searches to present them with curated selections of music. That is how to serve that particular segment. And now they need to figure out how to do that across all of them. I love that phrase, thought leadership yourself off a cliff. So can you turn your company into a
thought leader?
Yes, you can. Can doing so make you a stronger company? Yes, it can. But does it insulate you from change? Does it ensure longevity? Does it allow you to escape the challenges and pitfalls of every other competitor? It does not. Thought leadership is a tactic, and when executed properly, it can be an exciting and fulfilling one. But it isn't a crutch. That's the most important lesson from Daniel's story. Be a leader. Keep leading, and don't forget to look back every so often and ask, hey, is everyone still with me? And that's our episode. But wait, before you go, please hear me out on a few ways you can stay in touch with the show and contact me directly. First of all, if you like the show, it would be amazing if you subscribe to it on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Problem Solvers. That way, you'll never miss an episode. We come out every Monday morning. Also, I love hearing from listeners. You can go to jasonpfeiffer.com. That's J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R.com, where you'll find my email address, social media handles, and also you can sign up for my monthly newsletter, The Pfeiffer 5, which is 5 monthly insights and bursts of inspiration for entrepreneurs. It's basically a collection of the ideas that excited me the most that month. So please go check it out. And that's again, jasonpfeiffer.com. And if you want to drop me a line directly, please let me know about the problems you've solved, and I might have you read the letter in a future episode of the show. We can all learn from each other, and that also means you. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media, and this episode was edited by Conrad Martin. We are also online at entrepreneur.com. Again, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. Thanks for listening, and now go solve some problems.